right now, we're talking about a new report that finds the shortage of workers serving our aging population is getting worse. The nationwide shortage of caregivers continues to be one of the biggest industry-wide problems for home health agencies and long-term care facilities. No different here in Wisconsin. One in four caregiver jobs is open in our nursing homes and assisted living facilities. Do you work as a caregiver? What is it like? Is there a waiting list at your facility? Do you feel there's adequate staffing to cover shifts? The conversation is at 800-642-1234. Again, the conversation is here, 800-642-1234. John Sauer is CEO of Leading Age Wisconsin. It's an advocacy organization that has 200 nonprofit member organizations, including nursing homes, assisted living, and independent facilities. John, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's good to be here.
I was listening back to 2016 when you were here talking about the crisis. You were talking and sounding the alarm bells 4 years ago about the shortage of care workers. What's changed since then?
Well, unfortunately, we haven't done enough to address the crisis, and it's gotten worse. 4 years ago, we had about 700 facilities respond to our survey. This year, we had over 950, and I think that's just saying from the provider community that they want to be even more proactive and responsive and identifying what the workforce crisis is. And what we found is 2 years ago, we had about a 19% caregiver vacancy openings, and now we're in excess of 23%. And those percentages and numbers really don't begin to tell the depth of the issue. When providers are out there trying to recruit staff, sometimes there are no applicants whatsoever. 70% had no qualified applicants applying for jobs. And so it was our job to talk about the crisis back in 2016, trying to prepare our state for the oncoming population shift, and trying to really promote caregiving as a career. And where we stand right now is recently we've done some things to address the caregiver from a funding standpoint. But clearly, this is a situation that's going to take ongoing attention and investment.
You sit on the governor's task force on caregiving, which was created last year. How is that being addressed on the task force?
Well, I want to first do a kind of a shout out to the 29 members on that caregiving task force. I have found the conversations, and we've met several times now, to be very thought-provoking, serious-minded people really saying, okay, we need to be proactive. We need to address this. And it's been a pleasure kind of being in the room and having those conversations going on. The Caregiver Task Force really has divided itself into two areas. One group is concerned with the paid caregivers, and the other group is concerned about family and unpaid caregivers. And it's worth noting that there are about 550,000 informal caregivers or unpaid caregivers in the state of Wisconsin caring for family members, loved ones, etc. And one study showed that there are those caregivers are providing 57 hours a week of caregiving. So it's more than a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So one group is looking at unpaid and another is looking at paid. On the paid caregivers, you know, those concerned about those working in home health, personal care, assisted living, skilled nursing facility, there are at least two proposals on the funding side that would begin to address those issues. One is really targeting increases for caregivers in the family care program. And family care serves over 50,000 low-income people who are older adults, persons with disabilities. And there are some proposals trying to move the dollars away from the insurance company managed care organizations and really say, how do we get the dollars to where the caregivers are?
So what would you do if you would continue to boost funding for caregivers, continue to boost their salary? What would that do to the industry?
Well, I think it puts us in a more competitive situation. One of the startling numbers is the state economist came to the caregiver task force, and he presented some fairly startling statistics, frankly. And he said of a state of approximately 5 or 6 million people, there are only 14,100 people in the state of Wisconsin right now that are looking for full-time jobs. We have over 20,000 vacancies documented through our survey. So we have more vacancies in long-term care than there are people in the state of Wisconsin looking for a full-time job. So what we're trying to do is to say, okay, well, for long-term care providers, they are most often heavily dependent on publicly funded programs. I'm talking about Medicaid mm-hmm. and family care. And so if those two programs don't step up their investment, it's going to be difficult for those providers to raise wages and benefits, frankly, to stay in business, because we're competing against all the other employers in the state of Wisconsin. And I think that's the stark realization that the task force is coming to.
Looking at the growing caregiver gap in Wisconsin, what to do about it? John Sauer is CEO of Leading Age Wisconsin. Do you have a loved one who needs a caregiver? 800-642-1234. Back in a moment on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're looking at Wisconsin's growing shortage of caregivers like certified nursing assistants, nursing home staff, home health aides. There's a new report that says long-term care providers struggle to compete with non-healthcare employers that pay a median wage of $2 per hour more. And the staffing deficit is great across the country. One estimate predicts there will be more than 8 million unfilled job openings by 2028. Are you a caretaker for a loved one because you can't find a professional to fill the role? What policies could be enacted to better support you? The conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. Again, our conversation, 800-642-1234. John Sauer stays with us. He's president of Leading Age Wisconsin. Let's take a call on this now. Let's go to Marcia joining us from Madison this morning. Hi, Marcia.
Good morning. I want to say, first of all, I'm a sustainer, so I'm getting my money's worth by saying. I'm a nurse, and I'm long retired. I'm now available for long-term care. And my brother, who saved a lot of money, is now spending it all in a facility with dementia. And the facility really went downhill as far as care. And to their credit, they've come back, and they're facing this problem of finding people to hire. And in my long career, it's so obvious, and it has not changed, that as a society, we do not value people who care for people.
Oh, Marcia.
The salary that when this facility was getting better, they were so proud of themselves because they raised the salary to $12 an hour for RAs that they trained and $13 an hour for CNAs. And my question really is, and they don't rely on Medicare, any of the government things. Why can't they raise it to $15, $20 an hour?
Marcia, thank you for the call. So she's mentioning their resident assistants and certified nursing assistants. We see they do incredible work for caring for people, whether it is their meds or turning people in their beds or getting them dressed and helping them live their lives. Why can't we make this a profession?
Yeah, you've captured it really well, because being a caregiver is a job that is at times very physically and emotionally demanding. And I think as society, we don't value that work as much as we do other careers. The global answer is most providers are heavily dependent, as I said, on Medicaid and family care to pay their bills. And it is increasingly more difficult if you're relying on those publicly funded programs to sustain your mission of caring. Most providers will look at caregivers as the first priority. One of the things that it sounds like what Marcia's experience has been, is that a facility that may be experiencing financial difficulties and therefore is limiting wages and benefits. But what we have found is organizations that are so dependent on trying to make their budgets by suppressing wages and benefits ultimately are going to suffer because it's so competitive out there that the struggle is trying to provide adequate wages and benefits for staff so that you can attract and retain them. Some organizations, however, I've seen organizations fail. And I've seen organizations fail because...
fail as in go out of business?
They've gone out of business. We've had 39 nursing facilities close since 2016. The cost of care is such that maintaining the licensure, the staffing, the physical plant, the food, the maintenance, everything else is an expensive proposition. Anyone who knows who's had to rely on long-term care, it's not as expensive as acute care, but more people have insurance for acute care than long-term care. Long-term care, private insurance for long-term care is only about 5% penetration rate. So most people are paying out-of-pocket or they spend down and then they go on Medicaid or family care for to pay for their cost of care. Those programs put a lot of pressure on organizations.
John Sauer is with us as we talk about this new report his organization produced documenting a caregiver shortage that is worsening in Wisconsin. He's CEO of Leading Age Wisconsin. We'll continue this conversation after a news update. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. Right now, we're talking about a workforce shortage that remains at a crisis level for CNAs, for home health aides. A coalition of long-term care provider associations, they've done this in-depth survey in recent years. The latest one found that 1 in 4 direct caregiver positions in Wisconsin's nursing homes and assisted living facilities are currently vacant. 1 in 4. If you're a caregiver, what's your job like? What do you like about the work? What would you change? Were you a caregiver who took another job in a higher paying field? What do you see in quality of care and your wages? The conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Again, that's 800-642-1234. John Sauer is president of the advocacy nonprofit Leading Age Wisconsin, and he stays with us. Let's take another call now. Owen in Waiawega. Hi, Owen.
Yeah, hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I know that this constant care is pretty expensive. It's about $1,000 a day for one person. I know a man that was just admitted that's not even an invalid, and he needs $1,000 a day worth of care. That's going to exhaust his stock investments and his savings pretty fast. But anyway, and I know that a lot of these places don't want to pay their employees a lot because they can't afford to, supposedly. So dairy farmers are looking into hiring more guest workers and more, labor that's citizens of other countries. Why doesn't these homes look into doing the same thing?
Owen, thank you for the call. John Sauer, $1,000 a day seems, first of all, out of range.
That would be a significant aberration. The average Medicaid rate for a nursing home is $191. Assisted living might be $150 a day. Home care, depending on the intensity of the services, you might be, looking at $100 a day or so. So there are some people that are very complex, maybe people on a ventilator at home needing 24/7 care. That's highly unusual. So I think what the caller is talking about is something that is not part of the normal norm experience here. But his point is that there are other employers that are looking at immigration, and there are proposals that are floating around at the federal level. And obviously, it's controversial. People, you bring up immigration, and people start talking about the wall and all the emotion and the debate around that. But what we're talking about through our National Association, and many other groups are joining in on this, kind of circles back to what our state economist said is, when asked more directly, he said immigration has to be part of the solution for long-term care and frankly, other service providers. So at the national level, our if you Google Leading Age Imagine, there is a comprehensive proposal to look at immigration, and it would create exemptions under the EB-3 visa program. I don't want to get into all of the details, but basically it's saying if people want to come into our country legally and they want to serve as caregivers, we ought to make that available. There are nurses, for example, in the Philippines, and it's easier to come from the Philippines and work in this country than other areas, that have for years been coming to the state. And in Milwaukee, one of the nurses from the Philippines won the area RN of the Year award. So It is possible. I just think we have to be open to immigration, legal immigration. And, you know, there are things that we can do. We looked at religious visas for people who want to work in a nonprofit. There are ways of bringing in individuals under the hospitality business. And our feeling is that a program called H2Age would bring in temporary workers into our country, say for a 3-year authorization, and then decide what happens after that. But I really do think, given the number of openings that we have and the number of us, people in the state of Wisconsin, who are going to need long-term care at some point in our lives, we really need to be creative, not only on the payment side, but look at immigration, look at how we embrace caregivers, look at the innovative programs about split shifts. How do we get dollars to them?
You're saying everything has to
everything.
Be on the table.
And the caregiver task force has to look at all of those things. We're running a program in Milwaukee called the Geriatric Career Development Program. We're reaching into some inner city high schools in Milwaukee, and we're walking alongside 14 and 15-year-olds trying to nurture them and look at their possibility of pursuing a healthcare career, a caregiving career. And they will become certified nursing assistants at the end of the program. But really, they'll get much more than that. They'll be mentored by older adults, some residents in facilities. Ovation Community is pioneering this in the state of Wisconsin. And we're hoping to spread that pilot through other areas.
Talking with John Sauer, CEO of Leading Age Wisconsin. It's an advocacy organization for elder services. We're looking at the caregiver shortage now. Let's go to Sarah, who is joining us from Portage this morning. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
What is on your mind about the caregiver shortage?
I think it's unfortunate that there's a caregiver shortage, but being a caregiver myself, I completely understand that. I used to be a caregiver for 10 years, both working with elderly people and people with developmental disabilities, and I love the job. It was a really rewarding job. I have to say I probably had more fun working with that population than I have ever with any other job I've had. But unfortunately, even with a CNA, I wasn't making enough money, and I do have a kid. So I did leave the field to go find a position that pays much more money than I was making. And I'm, you know, I can't turn back because I have to think about, you know, myself and my kid in the long run. So
may I ask what you're doing now?
I work in a biopharmaceutical company as quality assurance right now, making, I would say, about $6 to $7 more an hour than I was making with the same degree with everything that I have. So,
Sarah, thank you for sharing your story. So Sarah, John, has left the profession, and it is all due to the money.
I mean, it's a great summary of the problem. We had almost 10,000 people leave caregiving positions last year, according to our survey. And one of the reasons that they cite is having to make a choice, exactly as Sarah said, between a job that they love, that brings them fulfillment, They love the interaction with older adults or persons with disabilities, and there's a team approach to care. But in the end, if she can make $5, $6 more an hour, that's a tough thing. And what we, I think, have grown too accustomed to is saying that it's okay to suppress wages. And it's not, and that's why we're asking on the nursing home Medicaid payment system. Our system is one of the poorest in the country by all measures. Family care needs to look at investing in caregivers versus the expansion of the program and the payments to managed care organizations. So that's really what it comes down to is 9 out of 10 caregivers are women, 25% of are minorities. And I think what we've become way too comfortable with is the idea that it's okay to make these positions low-wage earners. And many people are having to have two jobs. Many of the individuals who are caregivers qualify for Badger Care as their insurance program. And I don't think just money is the solution here. But it is also something that we cannot ignore, and we're going to need to invest as a society in caregivers, because some of us are only, you know, one health episode away from needing long-term care and services, and we need quality facilities, we need quality organizations, and then we also need to look at how we're supporting the informal caregivers, where 80% of the care really is taking place.
The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services is rolling out a program to encourage people to volunteer as caregivers to help meet the growing demand, volunteer as neighbors. What do you know about this effort, and is it happening in Wisconsin?
Well, I think there are programs out there, advocacy programs, volunteer ombudsman programs. There are opportunities are offered through churches and civic groups to get more involved in the long-term care system. And I think that is, I think it's fantastic. I think when I see the school programs coming in and doing intergenerational programs in facilities that are primarily serving older adults, that's how we support one another. That's how we build intergenerational support. And I think we need to do more of those things.
All right, looking ahead here, what does the future hold? What do you work on? This is a huge issue, and the crisis is going in the wrong direction. The numbers are getting worse.
Well, it's not a one-and-done thing. There's not one singular event that we can do. Passing immigration reform, that'd be great, but it's not going to solve everything. So collectively, we need to do we need to be laser-focused on the demographic shift and the number of people who are going to need long-term care. We need to look at how we're financing the system, but we also need to look at how we educate people and how soon we increase the awareness that we are an aging society. And I think that means reaching down into K through 12 schools and building support. I think having this concern for one another and not being able to just turn our backs on society as it ages. And really, I think if we do all of these things, if we look at reimbursement, if we look at the educational system, if we look at incentives for people to be caregivers, if we look at family and medical leave so that employers are sympathetic and supportive if I need to provide caregiving, because that's going to become more and more common. Mm. Broader than that, we need to look at robotics. We need to look at technology. And really everything is on the table. And it's not a one and done. It's not a singular event. It is something that as we approach 25 to 30% of our population over the age 65, that's going to shift how we, what society even looks like.
John, thank you for joining us.
I enjoyed it. Thank you, Kate.
John Sauer is president of Leading Age Wisconsin. We have a link to the latest report over on the Morning Show page at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.